Hi, this is David with Think and Act Locally. I'm here with Ralph Morrissey and Robbie Lowe. We are here to hear their story about deed restrictions and violations and just talk with folks about what's going on in their world. Ralph, you want to begin and tell us the story?
Sure. This subdivision was built in 1976, and in the beginning, deed restrictions were established by the developer. And every homeowner, when they buy the home, signs on to the fact that they will agree to follow those deed restrictions. That includes our neighbor, Stephen Alvarez, who decided to build a two-story apartment building on his lot. The day that he put the second story framing on it, we knew that this was not a rebuild of his existing garage, which was damaged years earlier, but that something else was going on. I delivered him a copy of the deed restrictions that same day, and the following day we had about a 30-minute conversation. Unfortunately, his take was, I'm compliant, my lawyer says I'm compliant, and I'm going to do what I want to do. He ended up getting two letters from the city. Within a week, he got one, and about 2 weeks later, got another one. Cease and desist letter from the city. He chose to keep constructing until finally.
During that 2 weeks, it's like he went into overdrive, too.
Oh, exactly.
Building so fast every day, all day. They told him to cease and desist and went forward.
With the building and with the progress building. On the building.
He finally stopped at the end of January, and because this all started in December. And
of 2019.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking a long time ago. And anyway, so it remained that way. And then in 2020, the courts, of course, were closed, so the city can't move forward until April of 2021. When he negotiated an agreement with them that what he would do, and he gave them the designs, he would combine the two-story apartment building with his residence, making one residence with just one set of meters and getting rid of the separate access for the second story and just making it all one building. And we said, yeah, that's fine. That'll make it compliant. Well, here we are 5 years later, and the building's finished, two stories. He's had stop work orders all along, and courts have ruled against him several times now.
And we compromised by allowing it to be turned into living area, even against the deed restrictions, because it's closer to the fence than a resident is supposed to be. But if he removes all the invasive...
Basically the door, the entrance.
The entrance, the overhang, the lights... And the air conditioner, if all of that just becomes blank walls on the back of the building, then, you know, we were willing to compromise that it was closer to the fence,
right.
You know, because it wasn't that invasive if it was just sealed off in walls.
Right.
You know, so I feel like we compromised, I'm not sure he feels that way.
It's turned into something else.
Yes.
So what he did is he took the whole story and turned it around. Hello. He turned the
bit of a thunderstorm.
He turned the story around to where all his neighbors who opposed it are racist, unless they're Hispanic, of course. Then he wouldn't accuse them of that, and claimed the city was being corrupt in enforcing the deed restrictions. And he's trying to get a mayor elected that he believes will be favorable to him and somehow stop the legal process from happening. But the funny thing about that is that judges already ruled you have to fix it. So I don't know how a different mayor is going to change what a judge has already ruled.
Yeah. I don't see how that could, separation of powers and everything. I don't think the mayor has that type of power.
It was in county court. It was never in city court. So it really.
Oh, is the county, is Harris County?
Harris County made those rulings, not the city of Pasadena.
Harris County District Court.
Okay.
And so now here we stand. We're both frustrated and confused as to how one individual can tear a neighborhood apart and be so defiant when it comes to simply doing the right thing.
And there's been no consequences for bad behavior. We've seen the bad behavior every 2 weeks at city council, the yelling and the name calling and all the disparaging comments about persons individually. And he was red tagged twice, and he took the red tags off and even posted on Facebook that no red tag would stop him from doing what he wanted to do. He posted that in writing, so I was kind of surprised about that. But the story he tells is that he needed those accommodations for his handicapped mother with dementia. But I had a mom with dementia too. We both did. We had that in common. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I said to him, I would never put my mother with Alzheimer's out in a garage all by herself. I wouldn't do that. Plus, how do you explain the second story? You're going to make your mom go upstairs, you know, but he will never address that part of his story. It's for my mom. It's for my mom. But if you pin him down, he will quickly tell you that was for a caretaker.
Right.
Okay, well, what do you plan to do with it when mom is gone? This is a lifelong structure. It's not like you're going to tear it down when mom is gone. Well, mom's gone.
Right.
Both of our moms are gone. And he's still fighting for what he says is not a rental unit, but it has separate utilities. It has a separate entrance. It actually has a fenced off yard where they can't get in his backyard. They can come in the front, and there's a little fence at the corner that gives them a little yard of their own and up the stairs to the upstairs unit and all of that. So his story, if you delve down into the actuality of what's there, that doesn't really fit the story that he tells.
And it really, the story really doesn't matter. It's a violation, pure and simple. Mm-hmm. And if it's allowed to stand somehow, then this could set a precedent throughout our neighborhood and change our neighborhood forever. And those of us who invested, I bought my house in 76. Those of us who invested in this neighborhood and anticipated that the value would continue to increase, could find ourselves in a opposite position to where perhaps the change of the neighborhood would make it less desirable.
And I bought mine in 2015, and half the time that I've lived here, I've had to fight. I mean, I've gone through all the emotions, right? Anger, frustration. I just don't even understand how we got here when we had deed restrictions day one that were in black and white. How did we get here?
Right. Yeah, well, through talking with Steve, it was my opinion, the architect, whenever they drew up the plans and everything, that they should have checked the deed restrictions and told him that they weren't in line. But then I called his architect, and they said they just did the structural for him, and they didn't do any of the plans that would show where the entrances were or anything like that. And so for whatever reason, his plans were submitted like that to the city, and the city passed them. And so it's his opinion that because the city passed them, regardless of the deed restrictions, that he was green light and that he could go and build it. And then,
and unfortunately, that's how it works in every city. You know, so the permit specifically asks the question in the permit, have you read and understood your deed restrictions and the project you're attempting, I don't know the exact wording, so I'm paraphrasing, but the project that you're permitting is not in violation of those deed restrictions. And he signed off on that. And based on that signature and that understanding, the city issued the permits. And that is how it works in most municipalities. And so it was his responsibility, but he was warned like early in the process. He could have regrouped at the beginning, and he chose not to. He invested. And, you know, and he took it as permission. We actually did go to court for an injunction. Just, in my opinion, it was like, look, just stop until it's settled. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's figure it out before you invest all this money.
Right.
But the Harris County judges at that time were like, well, if, you know, he can build at his own risk if that's what he wants to do.
Actually, if I may interject here, when the first TRO, temporary restraining order, was set, the only thing that existed was an outside shell. nothing inside existed. Mm-hmm. And his lawyer told the judge that it's a finished structure except for slapping on the paint. And based upon that, she's like, well, then I'm not going to put an injunction on painting.
Pictures? They didn't provide, or you guys couldn't provide any pictures to say?
Well, we weren't allowed inside that unit. We've never been.
So you guys weren't a part of that?
No, we only saw the video part of it.
Whatever. Okay. Wow.
So, there you have it. He has created his own problems, yet he's trying to put it off on us.
Yeah.
And especially since we're white. Even though Yusinia next door, Pedro up the street, others have had their fair share of things to say.
He's just mad, and it's like, I hate to compare it to a tantrum, but that's kind of, we're just going to lash out and say whatever we need to say to make people, to win over the opinion on our side, regardless of what the truth is or what happened, or, you know, it's, I want what I want, and I want it now, and I see it this way, and my way is right, regardless of whether it was a misunderstanding in the beginning, which I get that, but that has nothing to do with the fact that it isn't compliant. And I'm sorry you did that. I am. I mean, that caused so much trouble. And at the end of the day, the city has redesigned getting permits. And it is, if you talk to anyone that's trying to get permits, it's a very arduous process now. The builder, no one wants to build in Pasadena. I mean, it's just difficult because they I don't really know the details, but I think they're trying to digitize deed restrictions. But it's very difficult because this subdivision alone has two. If you go across the street to Parkgate, they have seven. And that's sections. There's seven sections of Parkgate, two sections of Fairmont Estates in our part. There's actually four, but that's another story. But every section has their own set of deed restrictions that could vary from the last one. So it's an overwhelming task, which is why the city really didn't get involved in trying to discern whether or not it's compliant. They ask you to read them, and then there is a process if you're in violation, which is exactly what we did. Was to notify the city that this is a violation. He should not be doing this.
It was nothing but a bunch of 2x4s when he was first told of this. And then it was just 2x4s with some Tyvek on it when the city sent the first cease and desist letter. Anything beyond that cannot be excused whatsoever out of ignorance. And in fact, I don't believe him to be an ignorant man. I believe him to be a knowledgeable man. And he's actually pretty smart because he's been able to manipulate a lot of people in this neighborhood and actually on various news stations, what have you, into his way of thinking.
Well, he's very passionate.
No one wants to believe that somebody looking in the eye and lying. No one wants to believe that, especially if you're a neighbor. And to have that person do that, I gave you a copy of something he left on somebody's door that simply stipulates, that says, all I'm trying to do is put in some amenities for my mother. Please sign the document. But the document says that he can have a two-story apartment building. How do you balance that with truth, you know?
And truthfully, there's no amenity that will help dementia. I mean, there's not guidance. And, you know, he's like, well, she needs her automatic faucets. I'm like, okay, well, you can put those in your house. Like, my mother has Alzheimer's, and an automatic faucet's not going to help. I still have to put her hands under the faucet to get them washed. Like, I'm a caretaker, and it is my job to take care of her. And I, you know, and one of the things he said is, I came home one day and my mom was opening the Drano. I need to get I need to get this finished for her own safety. And one of the neighbors, you know, really it was just the most logical response. He was like, well, most people would put the Drano in the garage. I'm like, okay, I that's how I would do it.
Lock a cabinet.
Yes, do some preventative things.
Child locks.
And it, you know, and he actually admitted to Ralph that he'd been living in the garage for a year. So I'm not sure this was all about his mom. I don't really know the story. I just know he built a two-story apartment complex. The plans show two complete duplex, in addition to his single-family home that was there to start with. and he owns other rental property. So it's not like he is a landlord. He owns a house in our neighborhood that if he needed accommodations for mom, there is a house he owns right around the corner. And so he is a professional landlord. And this I see as rental income. But, you know, when you put it on separate utilities, that was for the caretaker. Were you going to make them pay their bills? Like, why did you do that if you weren't planning on renting it, if not now, at least in the future?
Right.
In the beginning, when he and I had the conversation, December 19th, 2019, when it was nothing but 2x4s, he came across the street and handed back to me the copy of deed restrictions I'd given him, and that's when he said, "Ralph, I'm compliant." Well, during the conversation, he mentioned, "Well, that's just a single family's going to live there." I said, "That's not the definition." I said, "It's under one roof." And besides, even if that were, it stipulates in deed restrictions, no one could live in an outbuilding. He said, "Ralph, I've been living in that garage for a year." And I said, "Well, if nobody knew, nobody's going to file a complaint." And he said, "All I'm trying to do is keep my family together." Now, I don't understand exactly what that all means, but I just know that he had clear guidance on the fact through the deed restrictions, the conversation, that he was in violation. And now he's telling everybody I was 90% done before anybody said anything, and they're just messing with me because they're white and things of that nature. And I don't know, if I were a psychologist, I'd probably say he's narcissistic, but I'm not, and I can't say that. But his actions,
and well, you just did.
Yeah, but I mean, everything he does looks you in the eye and lies, is arrogant, yells and screams at City Hall.
The rules don't apply.
Yeah, and it just follows all those tendencies, and I don't understand a person like that.
Well, from my perspective, we, again, think and act locally.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to show the folks, one, I wanted to give you guys the opportunity to speak out and to give your perspective. We've heard from Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Something that folks need to understand is that with deed restrictions, it's not the city's responsibility to enforce the deed restrictions. It's on the neighbors to understand their deed restrictions and to enforce them as neighbors. It would be great if conversations could be had, people could come to agreement on their own without getting the government involved in the whatever it is, the decisions or the conflicts. But when you have neighbors who don't see eye to eye, then it goes to the city, which is what you guys have done, because he didn't, you say you reached out early on in this project saying, "Hey, we don't think this is compliant." He says, "I think it is compliant." And then that's when the court cases have all come about. But think and act locally. We want to encourage neighbors to get to know each other, have conversations. Mm-hmm. Let's be cordial with one another. If things go badly, these are your neighbors. These are the folks that you're in the emergency life raft with. We need to be able to get together and work together to find...
And that is Ralph's role. Right. Ralph is always knocking on the door, passing out the deed restrictions, letting them know that he is the president, even though that's disputed. But we don't have an HOA. We have a community, a neighborhood association.
It's a loose... And that was another... I forgot to bring that up. But so you admittedly... There's no
HOA.
HOA. Mm-hmm. However, you have taken it upon yourself, no. Or others have foisted it upon you.
No, he
to
was
be
elected.
Like the leader.
Well,
okay, so
kind of. What happened in 2006? Clarence down the street and several neighbors got together and started a neighborhood association, and they decided Clarence would be president. And the whole idea was to work with the city about drainage problems that we were having in the neighborhood, and then it expanded beyond that. To inform neighbors about deed restrictions as well.
Mm-hmm. Or just, it's an information bulletin board.
Yeah.
We don't have any enforcement authority. We have nothing except, here, we're going to have neighborhood night out in the park, or this person lost their dog, or...
Right.
It's just an informational bulletin board.
Our Facebook page has become that.
Yeah, our Facebook page has become... We have a neighborhood Facebook page, and that's what it's become, and... Anyway, continue, because
well,
Clarence...
If there's a... what happened is then Clarence said he needed to resign. I had just joined the organization, and they ended up electing me president, okay? And so I worked with others, and we renewed the deed restrictions in 2012 and again in 2022. Only in 2022 we made them auto-renew, so because it's very expensive, and Robbie and I and a couple others put up the money to do this. And
it was expensive. It was over $2,000. Yeah, because between $1,500 and $2,000, and we don't have a teal. I mean, we don't have a.
We're not a tax.
They're
authority.
Not paying the. There's no HOA.
There's
dues.
No fee. There's nothing. Right. We have no money. And if we wanted to renew our deed restrictions, somebody had to cough up the money.
Neighbors are reluctant to go talk to somebody about something they shouldn't be doing. Okay, you know, they've got a trailer parked in the front yard, or they got a, like guy had a tractor trailer parked at his house. So what happens is that I've taken on the responsibility of writing a letter, and the letter starts off with "Dear Neighbor," and then it goes into the reason for the letter. It talks about the deed restrictions in short, shows the deed restriction violation, and then offers suggestions how to get around it, such as if it's a trailer. We even change the deed restriction to make it official. Put it in your garage, put it behind a fence, out of sight, out of mind, you're good to go. Mm-hmm. Okay? Things like, same with boats and various other stuff, because if you've ever driven through some neighborhoods where there are no deed restrictions, it can look pretty junky. Okay? And so that's something that the majority don't want here. I sent a letter.
Ralph goes the extra mile. The guy down the street had a trailer, and Ralph offered to get him a storage building for 6 months and pay for it so he could get him out of violation, so the city wouldn't bother him, so he could make some arrangements, so we could help him out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like we're just heavy-handed.
Out to get everybody in power hungry.
Right. They get multiple notes. I mean, Ralph says, look, I'm trying to help. You know, let me help before the city gets involved.
I sent out probably 150 letters over 10 years. And they go to white people as well as Hispanic or Asian or whatever.
They go to neighbors.
It's
multicultural.
Right. He is the only person that the city ever had to get involved to this degree out of all these years. Mm-hmm. Only Stephen Alvarez. The closest we came to where the city may have been involved was a man had a broken down boat in his driveway. And I sent him a couple letters, and then finally I turned in a complaint to the city. The city sent him a letter. The second letter said, we will sue if you don't remove that boat. Well, he called me and he said, you know, I talked to my lawyer, and since the boat is inoperable and just sitting there, he thought it was best that instead of going to court, I'd just get rid of it. He said, by the way, my wife's happy now. She gets to park in the driveway. And I thought, what? But anyway, that was the closest, but this is the only one.
Yeah, boats, it's a money sink. Okay, one of the things that he brought up to me is the porte-cachets and the covered parking in the driveways.
Right.
That is possibly a code violation or a deed restriction violation. However, we see that they're in the neighborhood. That was in one of the videos that he said.
Right. In fact, not just that, but people who closed in their garages was a violation.
I have a list of properties that he says there's deed violations and all.
And what happened is that these things started before there was a neighborhood association.
Okay.
There was nobody enforcing.
Right.
And what we were told by the city is that because so many people had already closed in garages and built carports or porte-cachets, either one, that the no judge would force them to take it down because they're grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. There were probably 20 or 30 by the time, you know, we started.
I think people didn't understand that. I mean, most people think that if you put up a carport, the city was okay with it because nobody did anything. They didn't understand it was their responsibility to say, hey, our neighborhood has a restriction against carports. Well, nobody knew. So, I mean, you fast forward to there's 30 in the neighborhood. And so in 2022, that was one of the updates that we did to the deed restrictions to allow closed-in garages and allow carports so that no one could file a complaint.
The garage can be closed in for additional living space, however, not separate living space with separate utilities.
Yeah, it has to be on the...
We clarified that.
I have a closed-in garage. It was done when I bought the house. I didn't close it in.
And now there's no...
Very common in our area.
And now there are no violations of that nature.
Okay.
But this is a separate two-story apartment building. There's no comparison.
No, it's clearly something different.
And by the way, the house he owns on the other street also has a carport.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and if no he one, wants no to say we're in violation, he is also in violation. So, I mean, we fixed it so that, and it's, the deal was, of course, you, the city attorney told us at one point, yeah, you can file a complaint on somebody putting in a carport, but you better file a complaint on everybody. Because you can't just pick and choose.
You can't selectively enforce deed restrictions.
That is correct.
And any lawyer could easily argue grandfathering. Mm-hmm.
So we just fixed it so that there could be no arguments. There could be, and 60% of the neighborhood agreed to make that change. And so no longer is that an argument.
Yeah, we made about 6 changes to the deed restrictions to update them. For instance, we defined a truck. It says no truck allowed. We defined it to be no truck except for no truck class 3 and above except for a class 3 pickup truck would be allowed in the neighborhood to take care of these large trucks.
The semi trucks, you know, like the tractor trailers and that.
Right. So we defined that so that no one could complain about someone parking their Ford F-250 in their driveway.
Right.
You know, we wanted to make sure that, get clarification on that. So we made several such changes. And it's really, really helped to clarify that. That no change allows a 2-story apartment building.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you guys would like to get out in the open? Are we good?
Well,
I know that there's still...
There's no hate from our side. There's no hate. You cannot be prejudiced against a building. I do not know them. I can tell you to this day that if I ran into his wife and his children at Walmart, I would not know who they are. I've seen that lady one time in a hearing, and of course I was nervous and stressed and and not studying her feature. Like, I don't know her. I don't even know if she speaks English. He, on the other hand, I do recognize because he's been in my face for 5 years now, and of course he's on video at city council meetings. But, you know, you can't hate someone you don't know, or I can't anyway. You know, I just am like, I just want my privacy back. Mm-hmm. And that's all. I bought my house. It was a very private backyard. I sit here in my chair. I'm often paranoid that he's looking at me through the fence, you know, but I refuse to cave to the intimidation. And I could cover my back door. I could. I admit that. But this is why I bought this house, is to enjoy the garden and the view from this chair. I have my bird feeders. You know, I'm an old lady that likes birds. And, you know, I have a video bird feeder that I watch. And I work in my plants. And I just enjoy, this is my sanctuary. And when I come in my front door, then I expect it to be private. But now when I even sit on my porch, there's people walk. I can see people walking up and down the stairs just from my chair.
Right.
And it feels invasive. And I feel like I have to constantly be aware that I could be seen at any minute. And so it's a different level of invasion for me. And I didn't buy my house with all that there. You know, if I told you earlier, if I'd have bought my house and that was there, then I would accept it. But I bought what I bought, and this came in later, and it's a violation, and I shouldn't be forced to accept it.
I get you. If I may, in summary, I gave you a copy of the Facebook page back in 2014, the week he moved in. I went over, welcomed his family to the neighborhood, gave him a copy of the information about the neighborhood, including deed restrictions, brought him some chilled water because I knew they wouldn't have any there at the time, and even though it was February, it was warm. And just told him anything comes up, here's our Facebook page. He did not join the Facebook page until 2020 when he wanted to lash out at his neighbors for objecting to that. But he's never joined anything in the neighborhood until such time as he had his cause. And so I don't consider that neighborly.
Okay. There was one other thing that he mentioned that I'd like for you guys to address is there was a neighborhood meeting for Spanish-speaking neighbors that he says he was not invited to, and then when he showed up, he was met with the police. So can you guys speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, if I may. I rented a room over at the library. Yeah, that's a technical term. You don't pay money. When you rent a room, you decide who gets to come into that room, mm-hmm. okay? We invited Spanish-speaking neighbors who we wanted to explain to them the deed restriction changes that were coming up.
In case they had questions.
Yeah, because many of them, we weren't able to go knock on the door and talk to them. So we had a Spanish, your friend, what was
My friend Yolanda.
Yolanda was there to interpret.
And agreed to interpret.
Okay, so we did not invite him because why would you invite someone who is opposed to you?
No, no, no. He had his own set of deed restrictions at that time. So we had competing, which is, I guess, allowed. And both could be valid if both got 60% of the deed, of the signatures. They could both be valid. I don't even know how all that would work. But nonetheless, he was advocating for his set of deed restrictions. He was actively knocking on the neighbor's doors, collecting signatures for his deed restrictions. Why did he need to understand our deed restrictions? He was actively criticizing them and disparaging our reputations, calling us liars, dictators, blah, 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 all this stuff. When we just had a set of deed restrictions that we were advocating for, just like he was advocating for his. He didn't invite us to a meeting for his either. So we had a meeting to explain our set of deed restrictions to Spanish speakers. They could sign or they could not sign. It simply was for information. He didn't need it. He speaks English. He, you know, whatever. But he showed up to intimidate, and intimidate he did. Two people left because they didn't want to fight with him.
He got up in their faces and was speaking in Spanish intentionally so we'd be cut out. And it was obvious the reaction was such, they're like, you know, startled and scared. What, he got so noisy and what have you that the librarian called the police. We didn't.
We didn't.
The librarian met the police coming into the door and directed them into the room. So,
and they gave us the authority to control the attendance on the room that we rented, and we didn't want him intimidating the neighbors that were there to listen to what we had to offer. He had the same right to invite them to his and go over what he had to offer. Mm-hmm. He had no intention of signing our document, which is what I said to him. If you're not signing our document, you have no business here. No business. You know, and there was a scuffle, he might have told you. And it wasn't intentional. I walked up to speak to him going, you shouldn't be here. You're making a scene. And his mom was sitting there and she reached up and grabbed my hand. And I have compassion for that because my mom's in the same situation, like I said. And I reached down and I patted her hand and I said, hi, mom. You know, just whatever I said, it was just to comfort her. And he went off. He went off. He shoved me back. And, you know, told me to get away from his mother, blah, blah, blah. Well, that all caused him to be met with the police. He was not met with the police. They were called on him after he caused the disruption.
And again, it was the librarian that called, not us.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to clear up? Get on the record, tell us.
Well, at the end of the day, it's a compliance issue.
There will be video of the home. I don't know at what point we show it in the video or anything of the home. I know we haven't seen it yet and what mm-hmm. the violations are and all that kind of thing, but it is included. So,
okay.
And you know, I welcome. I appreciate. This is the first time anyone's ever tried. Like he tells his story, his version of the story, at city council every 2 weeks, and how abused he is and how corrupt everything is and how Ralph has manipulated everything. I try to stay very neutral. I can't even go to my government meetings because I don't want to be his target. And I don't want him to be aggravated at me. He's looking at me through the fence. And, I have a fear of him because he's a felon. I mean, I that reputation gives me pause for my own safety as a single elderly senior citizen. I'm not elderly, but I am 64 years old and I live by myself. And
you feel vulnerable.
I do feel vulnerable to someone who is much younger than I, and has already had the propensity to be confrontational. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when he will snap, you know? I don't know how, I don't want to tell his personal history, but that personal history causes me to be somewhat afraid of him. And I, Ralph takes the burden. His skin is much thicker than mine, and he may go to city council every once in a while, but I have chosen not to go because I don't want to get called out, and I don't want to be seen as the part of his problem. You know, I don't want that. I want peace.
He even went so far as to take a document I had printed when I was really concerned. I hadn't seen the family for days, but yet the only car missing was the work car. We even talked about it. We were concerned about that. And so...
Well, not only that, but there was an incident prior to that. That afternoon, there was like an argument or something going on in the driveway.
Oh, yeah. And then she drove off quickly with the kids or something. But anyway, we were concerned as to why haven't we seen the family and only the work car is missing. And
which was unusual.
If it was any other neighbor, I would have gone and knocked on the door. I would have maybe asked the police to make a welfare check. But being him, I knew I couldn't do that. So what I did is I have cameras all around my house. I went back, looked backwards to see what I saw last. And then what I saw on a Thursday morning was all this activity. And all you see is heat signatures, by the way. You can't tell man from woman, child from dog or whatever. You can't tell. You just see heat signatures. And the best I could tell is two heat signatures left in his car. And then I'm not seeing anybody for days.
There is a document that he provided me about a wellness check.
That was the document
that you were
talking about. And so the reason I put all those information in there was to convince Martin, his only friend or best friend or whatever.
Is that the pastor?
Martin Reed.
Martin is not a pastor. Martin is not a pastor.
Is it the bald guy in the video?
Yeah.
The older gentleman?
Yeah.
He's not a pastor. Steve called him a pastor, and he put out a video later that said, look, I need to clarify. I'm not a pastor. I have a certificate to be able to marry people, but I'm not a pastor.
But anyway, I went to him and his wife and asked Martin to please do a welfare check. And I gave him that information, trying to convince him. He took it. And then after a moment, he says, oh, wait a minute. He called me and said that they're going on a cruise. And I said, well, please just check anyway. Think about what that reads and just go over and knock on and make sure everything's okay. Well, then what they decided was to turn that into something where I'm a pervert. I'm filming his girls all the time, giving it to all the neighbors, and that's a lie. That's an outright lie. And why this pastor that isn't a pastor would, you know, work with him to come up with that story. But you'll see it.
It was from the right place. It got blown out of proportion, and in hindsight, probably could have been handled differently or should have been handled differently because of the situation. But the intent was for fear because of the volatility of the personality that we know. Mm-hmm. That the person we know is very volatile. And the incident in the driveway, and then the disappearance, like his work car, like the family never gets in that work car. That's his work car. They have a nice vehicle.
Big SUV. That's what they all go to church in.
Always come and go in. I can't see that side as well as Ralph. Ralph lives catty corner from the front, but because he has no garage, you know, it's just kind of evident when they come and go. It's not like we're, right. I keep up or anything.
I keep up with my neighbors and stuff. But to balance that we as neighbors all need to find too, is that some folks, I'm not saying that this is necessarily the case either, but some folks just want to be left alone. And we will run into those neighbors from time to time that, like when I was growing up, there was a particular neighbor who didn't like me walking on his grass. And he would let us know, stay off my grass. That neighbor, you know, everybody's got that story.
Yeah.
And some guys you may not click with or whatever, and so you just need to know that you need to keep your space and all of that. But
which is kind of what he did by going to Martin to say, look, I know I'm not, you know, it's not right for me to go check on him.
Right.
But my fear is there's something going on and the children and the wife have been abandoned inside the house or whatever scenario you imagine in your head, the worst case scenario.
We've all seen too many movies.
Yeah. Just go knock on the door and tell us they're okay. That was the intent.
If I'd been smart, I would have just said,
not left
I don't
the
care.
Document.
Yeah, left
that would have been the smart thing for me to not care about. the family.
He was just supporting his point of view. He's like, look, this is, I went back and this is what I saw. And these are, this is the last time the car was there. So, you know, and he doesn't study his cameras on a daily basis, to my knowledge. You know, it's not, he doesn't have time. He volunteers everywhere and he wouldn't have time for all that. But it was a concern and it was a genuine concern. It wasn't a gotcha concern. It was somebody go check on the family and then let it go. I mean, and so it just got way out of.
Now, if I called the police and they busted in the house based on my word, I, you know, that'd been a different story. But I went to his best friend, Martin, and left it up to Martin to make that check, make it aware, because Martin may not have noticed, you know, the same thing I did. Plus, being able to go back several days on video cameras and try to understand what really happened.
Well, he never saw the kids get in the car. I think that was the other thing. He didn't ever see the family load up for a cruise and or any of that, which I don't know how your cameras.
I used to be president of Pasadena's On Watch. It was a citywide organization encouraging people to get to know your neighbors, get to know their routines and that, so that if something is out of the ordinary, you know, see something, say something, go knock, go check, what have you. That was part of the Pasadena's On Watch. And that was in my mind when all this took place. But again, if I'd been smart, I'd say that I don't care about the Alvarez family.
No, and there's a, look, we've all gotten so used to kind of minding our own business that when you begin to show an interest, this is the balance that we'll have to try to find is, you know, the difference between, you know, being a concerned neighbor and then being a snitch or, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of deal. So there's always that, it's a delicate balance, but the more closely integrated our relationships are, then the less the latter, being a snitch and all that kind of thing, comes into play. So, well, I don't know, this is, it's the dance that we play is being neighbors, and I think that we need to improve. If nothing else, I think there's room for improvement, and that's the message that I want to put out there. I want to give you guys, one, the opportunity to speak out. I haven't heard from you guys yet, so we got to hear
and
from you.
And if there's anything we can do to improve the situation, I mean, like I said, I don't hate that family. He's got children. I mean, I have no angst towards any of them. It's a building, and it's invasive, and I just want my peace back, and I'll leave them alone. I don't converse with them or bother them. They come and go out of the front of their house, and I'm on this side of the fence, and, you know, we've been neighborly. We used to talk about trimming that big old tree, which he's quit trimming now, and, you know, and so it just has become very contentious because he's mad. I guess he should be mad at himself instead of us, but he's mad at us because he needs to be mad at someone, and I'm sorry that we're where we are. You know, I don't know what to do that we could have done any better because he wasn't open to conversation. He was convinced he had done everything he needed to do, and once the city stepped in, he's like, I don't care what y'all have to say. I'm doing what I need to do, and that's just sort of the attitude he's had the entire time. And I think he just doesn't like the answer no. I mean,
You'll see screenshots in there from when he was part of the Facebook page stipulating, like, red tags mean nothing to me and I'll do what I want to do and that sort of thing.
I will, I'll scan this and create a PDF if you don't mind. And I'll
That's a copy.
Well, I'll put it. As a link on our website.
Okay, sure.
So for the folks, if they are interested and want to know more, the information's here. I just want to bring this stuff to light, let people make their own decisions about it, and hopefully they can learn from the experience that you guys have had for the past. I'm in on the very back end of this thing. I was not a part of any of this, and this has been going on for years and years. So
it has, and there's a lot of moving parts that got us to where we are. And, you know, but again, the simplified version is it's a deed restriction violation. The courts have ruled that he needs to comply, and he's yet to comply. So I don't know where it's going from there.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll find out. It's later this month that he'll be going back to court. We'll see what happens there, and I don't know. Any concluding statements? We're good. What I'd like to do is we'll set up the camera. We'll get some videos and maybe some commentary, whatever. We can talk about the structure itself and show the folks what it is, what the view is from your backyard, and what it is we've been talking about this whole time. Sounds good?
Sure does, David. Thank you.
Okay.